What really gets my dick hard is...
Welcome to Metal Up Your Podcast. This is episode one of Revisited. I'm Ethan Luck.
And I'm Clint Wells.
And what Revisited is something new we're going to do where we're going to talk about current event news, things that just happened. For example, the Grammy Awards were last night. And Clint and I got on the phone together. We're like, we should start talking about this. So here we are.
Yeah, I was watching it with my wife. It was the only, I specifically only watched that part of the Grammys because the Grammys nauseate me.
Yeah.
And man, this is such a dad move, but like I was so mad that I threw my hat.
I threw my hat, man.
I was
my
like a
mesh hat.
I immediately was like
make a noise when it hit the ground.
It was like his mic's not on. His fucking mic's not on. His goddamn motherfucking mic is not on. And even my wife is just like, "Oh man, that's bad."
Yeah, totally. I couldn't get too vocal about it cuz my wife was sleeping. I kind of did one of those it's like clenching my fist, like mouth open, like, oh my God, what's happening right now?
I didn't think to text you because I thought you'd already, because you're leaving today to go to Germany. I thought you'd already split.
Yeah, I leave today.
So. But we should, so you texted your other Clint that you thought was me.
I did it again.
For about 30 minutes.
Good 30 to 40 minutes I was texting my other buddy Clint. And he wasn't even trying to play along. He was just responding because he texted me first. About the performance.
Because he knew it'd bum you out.
Yeah, and he listens to the podcast, so yeah, he was hitting me up. And on the most current operating system on iPhones, at the top of the text conversation, it only shows the first name. So I looked down, got a text, and I just opened it while I was watching TV, and I looked down, it just said Clint, even though I have his last name in there now. And I mean, I'm texting him ideas for this portion of the podcast.
And he's just like, yeah, man.
I was like, what if we called it Revisited? He's like, man, that'd be awesome. So I thought it was you. I did it again, man. I got to really pay attention.
Just one day, dude, he's going to show up at your house to record the episode and no one will ever know.
I'm not even going to realize it.
All Clints are just absolutely interchangeable.
You got so many more tattoos and cut your hair.
So let's get into it. So the episode that we talked about this on is old, but we kind of called Moth. I don't know how long. Did you see that Lady Gaga got a big ass moth tattoo on her back?
I was a little too distracted by the lack of Hetfield's vocal, but that's
bitching. It seems to be a Moth in the Flame inspired tattoo. Like she's like a huge Metallica fan.
Yeah, I think she's definitely a fan. I mean, I don't know if there was a teleprompter up there, but she definitely knew all the lyrics and she wasn't like, I mean, she was all over the stage, wasn't like looking at the ground at a teleprompter from what I could tell.
Yeah, and let's talk about the good. Okay, first. So I'm a fan, I guess, of Lady Gaga. Like, I'm glad she's in the pop world, actually writing songs, actually singing. And man, I kind of liked her vibe in the song. She had a lot. She had a lot of energy and passion, and like she was like owning it, man.
Well, we've talked about that in regards to her. She has passion, she has drive, she works her ass off, and I think it's pretty clear that she's a Metallica fan.
She even had like her on her like nails that were done. Nails said Metallica.
That's so cool.
I mean, she was like all decked out, man.
I'm for it. I know that like last night you and I were on the Metallica forums for a while. I ended up falling asleep with my phone in my hand while I was looking at those.
Nice.
There was plenty of people that hated it, people that loved it. Audio issue aside, I mean, I thought it was a really good performance. There was a couple little flubs on guitar, but I mean.
Yeah, it seemed a little sloppy Joe because that's a pretty heavy chugga-chugga tune.
It is. I mean, I can't imagine that. Once his vocal wasn't there, they all had the utmost confidence.
I
know. You know,
I think James handled it really well. Honestly,
he did.
There's been some words about. I think an article came out this morning that said Metallica frontman throws temper tantrum. I'm like, I don't think he threw a fucking temper tantrum. I think he is a perfectionist who was disappointed.
Yeah, totally. And he did handle it well. Like, you saw him, I think it was right after the first line he sang, he looks over to stage right, like, oh, what's happening?
Right.
And then like most singers do, it's like, okay, I'm sure they'll fix it. Goes back up for his next part. It's still not there.
I know.
He even tried a third time on the pre-chorus. And then at that point, I thought he transitioned well into going over to Lady Gaga, hey, let's share the mic. And then I thought that made for some special moments.
I do too. I mean, those like photos and like video of them right in each other's face singing Moth is actually maybe even cooler than what might have happened otherwise. And what I really loved is that it sort of like proved to those other fucks in the room that like these people are really singing, motherfucker. This is real music. You can't lip sync or run an audio track into someone else's mic. You know, like,
yeah,
I thought it was cool. And it sounded kind of rough because I imagined that whatever that mic was for in her ears or whatever, like, can you imagine? And let's clear this up too, because there's some confusion that I think you in particular can shed light on.
Yeah.
Is everyone saying, don't blame Big Mick. Big Mick had nothing to do with it. I think I wrote something like, you know, I think this was actually maybe a Metallica crew issue. And then some, what, did you lose me?
No, I think we're good. The Skype video froze for a second.
So anyway, I said I think it actually might have been a crew member because you and I had texted about it, and these couple of dickheads were like, "Yeah, because they wouldn't even let Big Mick in." So that goes that theory and all that. It's like, but I think Metallica's crew was running monitors, which is where the signal starts, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think I chimed in a couple times on the forum last night where, you know, they wouldn't let their crew in, all that stuff, or wouldn't let them work. I'm not trying to be cocky here, but I've worked enough award shows with Kings Leon and late night TV shows. There are certain things because of unions that, like, our front of house guy can't actually run sound for, you know, Jimmy Fallon, for instance.
Right.
He can be there almost like as an advisor. And occasionally he'll be like, hey man, can I just ride the fader on the lead guitar part or something like that.
Right.
But almost every TV thing I've done with Kings, our monitor guy, Saul, is always doing monitors.
Right.
He's never not done it since I've been there in 3.5 years. So even if the Grammys are like, hey, our house guy's doing monitors, I guarantee you Hetfield or the whole band's monitor guy is right over his shoulder.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Right.
They're not going to say your crew can't come in. Metallica wouldn't do the show. If, like, well, oh, yeah, your guitar techs and your audio crew can't come in?
Well, and here's the deal, too. It's like, I'm not slagging on the Met crew. Like, I understand that mistakes like this happen. It's a shitty mistake because it's the Grammys and millions of people are watching. And James definitely looked pissed off. But I'm just trying to, like, keep it real, man. Figure out what the problem was.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, like you mentioned, you know, like the audio signal from Hetfield's mic, at least in our camp, the first place it goes is Monitor World, and then that from there goes out to broadcast and then out to front of house.
Right.
So it's starting at the source on stage, and you know, in Monitor World, that's where it gets distributed.
Right. Well, that's my experience too.
Yeah. And if it was a house, like a Grammy house monitor engineer, I still would guarantee and put money down that their monitor engineer was out on stage during set change, placing mics, patching things in. Well, so
because they use Metallica's microphones. I mean, they were using Metallica gear.
Oh yeah, it's their stuff. Their crew is there.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. There's no way a band like Metallica, or really anybody that had a solid crew. Now, not everybody's there, but what we call the core crew is there.
Right.
You know, front of house monitors.
Well, you know, yeah.
Maybe lighting guy techs.
A lot of their crew was at the Palladium because they actually went straight to the Palladium to play a show.
Yeah, which I found it really interesting that they didn't have a second set of backline just to have it ready to go. Like, or maybe that was on purpose just to get the crowd amped up. Like, because the Palladium was full.
I know.
And they were like loading shit in. So
I think maybe, because it was same town, just different venues, they were like, Lars is just hot on those purple drums for this tour.
I mean, with Kings, when we have two sets of backline that at times, even recently. Right. Where recently they just did Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon. We had like our UK rig at Seth Meyers, the US rig, even though it's the same building, but it just makes for an easier transition. But maybe, I don't know, maybe they wanted to hang on to that back line, or they thought, hey, this will be exciting for fans to watch us set it all up. I don't know.
Yeah. I know it's not exciting for the crew to set it all up in front of a full house. That sucks.
Totally. It does.
I was feeling for those dudes, man.
Yeah. But yeah, the mic issue, I mean, I don't know if they'll release like a statement about it or anything like that, or they're just like, fuck it, we're over it, let's move on. We just announced our tour, all that stuff. You know, I think if they bring it up, you know, people are going to keep harping on it. So
My guess would be they're going to just be professional and let it lie. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I don't know if you remember the Grammys a few years ago when they played one with Lang Lang.
Oh, yeah.
That Grammys actually ended with Nine Inch Nails playing their new record with Lindsey Buckingham on guitar.
Oh, and Dave Grohl on drums.
And they famously got cut off, and like immediately Trent Reznor tweeted, "Fuck the Grammys."
Oh, yeah, totally. I remember that.
Like, damn, he wasted no time.
No time.
I think they're going to let it ride, man. They got other shit to worry about.
Of course, yeah. No, they just announced a tour, which we'll get into here in a second. And, you know, they had other business to tend to. They went straight over to the Palladium and played, I think, was it a 10-song set?
Yeah, it was like short. That? Yeah, it was kind of a short meat and potato set.
Some people I saw on the forum were complaining about how short it was, but what I don't think some people understood was I think it was a Citibank-sponsored thing, like almost like a concert series thing.
Right. And it seemed like kind of like a Grammy after party show too.
Kind of, yeah. But there's a lot of things that happen, you know, that are sponsored by different companies, whatever they do, a certain concert series, and you're allowed this amount of time. You know, hey, you play from 10 to 11 or whatever, so however many songs you can fit in is up to you.
Right.
I don't think Metallica was like, screw LA, we're only going to play 10 songs. That's just the time they were allowed.
Yeah. And it seemed kind of like an industry crowd, too. I mean, there were, like, a lot of celebrities there and shit.
Yeah. Well, maybe not on the floor, because I saw on the Metallica Instagram stories, there was a clip this morning I saw. I think it was when they were playing Seek and Destroy, and there was, like, a big old circle pit right in the middle.
Oh, I did see a circle pit, yeah.
Hopefully that was led by Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I don't think Anne Hathaway's in that circle pit.
Yeah, probably not. back to the Grammy performance real quick. I think we could probably end on that now, but my overall thoughts were I really enjoyed it. Obviously, the lack of vocal on the first third of the song was a bummer, but I thought Hetfield handled it well, and it made for some really cool, unique moments between the two of them.
I agree. It was like just a real moment on real TV with real music.
How did Lars not fuck up when Lady Gaga basically was trying to get a piggyback ride? She was straight up like on his back and he was still playing. I was like, oh, Lars is gonna drop a drumstick or something right here.
Torben's like, be careful with the drummer.
That's his tennis arm. You don't want to hurt it. We have a match tomorrow.
Get off of my son. I got to give it to Lady Gaga, because when James's vocal wasn't working and she had to sing the back half of each verse, she wasn't rattled. I mean, so, you know, I can imagine in that situation, like, your cue isn't there, so you kind of get rattled on the lyric, but she fucking,
for sure,
she killed it, man.
She nailed it, yeah. She did a good job. So, yeah, I guess that wraps up the Grammy stuff.
Yeah, that's where our thoughts.
Mistakes or not, I thought it was exciting and fun.
Yeah, so they announced their U.S. tour, and it looks like you and I are going to be making the trek to Atlanta.
I hope so, yeah. schedule permitting. Atlanta or St. Louis are the two closest to where we live in Nashville, so I really hope that we can make it happen so we can do some podcasting outside of a stadium.
Yeah, we're going to try to do like a pop-up episode in the parking lot.
Talk to some fans.
Yeah. Man, I am a little disappointed. It's like this 50 shows a year thing is like, dang, you know? Atlanta and St. Louis, that's all we got.
Well,
for the first leg, I guess.
I'll bet they'll do this. They'll go do Europe, UK, Asia, all that stuff, and then probably do a second leg of a U.S. tour in other cities.
Yeah, maybe some other markets.
And we can go again.
That's true. We need to see if we want to maybe try to do one of these, like the Unforgiven experience or the Whiplash experience. The Hardwired experience is $2,000. My wife will kill me if I do that. But I think the Whiplash and Unforgiven experiences are like a couple hundred bucks more.
Okay. Well, I might have a little bit of a connection. I'm going to make a few phone calls when it gets closer and see if there's a way we can experience some stuff. So.
Boom. Great.
But yeah, so if you are listening and are planning on going to any of these shows, we'll keep you updated. But there is a chance that Clint and I will be coming to Atlanta and or St. Louis.
Both would be awesome.
Both would be awesome, but our plan is to figure out a way to kind of maybe even set up in the parking lot, kind of tailgate style, maybe outside the back of one of our cars, and interview you guys as you're walking into the show, stuff like that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Maybe we can have a post show.
We can have you actually tell us to our face to go to Hellfags.
Yeah, right to our face. That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
we would love it.
Really cut out the middleman there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. This was our first revisited episode.
Yeah, these are going to be kind of short and sweet, current event news, things that are happening, and obviously as long as me and Clint can on short notice get together and talk about this, we'll make them happen and keep revisiting all the things in Metallica world.
Yep, and we'll see you guys next week with our 30th anniversary episode.
Yep.
All right, cool. Well, I guess that's it, isn't it?
That's it. Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Peace.
Yeah. See ya.
If you were our advisor, what would you say? Then I would say, delete that.